The topic of my message this morning is Prophet, Priest, and King. For the last 2 or 3 years, I had been preaching in Life Church from the Gospel of St. Matthew. And now we have reached up to 21, and there are another 7 more chapters. We'll finish the book. Do you know that these last 8 chapters record but only 1 week of Jesus' life? This is the very last week of His life on earth. Except for special occasions like Christmas or Easter, we have just had Christmas slightly over 2 weeks ago. And there, we introduce the life of Jesus to you. And do you remember my topic at Christmas? It was, what was Mary pondering in her heart about the birth of the Son of God? And I told you that he was pondering beyond the birth of the Son of God, now the death of the Son of God, to pay for our sins. But now we are entering into the final stage of Jesus' life, and he is at the moment thinking of the last things. And we are introduced now to the whole gamut of his life. He started out as a prophet, and then he ends up as a priest, but he has already obtained the crown as a king. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verse 28, tells his disciples, "Let us go into the new towns, that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth." Do you know that Jesus, when he came on earth, he was preaching non-stop, every day, anywhere. And to be a prophet doesn't mean to tell prophecies all the time. No, Jesus gave us quite a few prophecies. But his main point was not to tell before, to foretell, but to tell forth, to show people the way of salvation. And there are so many people perishing. Their lives are so sad. They blame people. They curse. And they feel themselves righteous because I've been wronged. And all other people have wronged me. In a sense, we are also prophets. A pastor, a preacher, is speaking forth also God's word. All those who heard Jesus gladly, publicans, drunkards, sinners, but the woman of Samaria, having 5 husbands, and she is living a very sad and wretched life, until she found Jesus Christ as a Savior. And she brought many other people in. But there was a group of people who rejected Jesus, who never believed in Him, who disbelieved His miracles, whom Jesus condemned and sent to hell. Jesus personally said, there is no chance for them to find salvation because they blaspheme my name and they will have to pay for their sins. Jesus has been preaching all the while. And now the last week He will be preaching even more and prophesying. And it will be interesting to know that in every one of the, in every one of what the Pharisees had been saying, they were condemned. Recently I've been writing a book, a booklet. The title is, How Jesus Taketh Puny Men in Their Own Craftiness. They thought that they were going to catch Jesus. And Jesus was smiling inside, not knowing that they will be caught in turn. How can man outwit God? So these are all in the passage I just read, the last week of Jesus' life. And Jesus not only caught them, but disgraced them and made them very browbeaten and shamed. Is it all right to give tribute to Caesar? Just say, well, show me a coin. And they say, this is a coin of with Caesar's head on the top. Render to Caesar the things that Caesar, and to God the things that are God. Jesus caught them back, paid them back in their own coin. Then there is a gap in the passage because we have not come to the accounts of Jesus' crucifixion. Why did Jesus die on the cross? He was born into this world in order finally that He might go to the cross to die for your sins and for mine. When He died on the cross for our sins and mine, and He rose again from the dead for our justification, then He became our high priest. But the main thing about today's story is that Jesus rode a donkey into town, and the children all shouted, Hosanna in the highest. That is the word said to the king or to God. And the Pharisees again did not like it. Challenges, do you hear what the children are saying to you? Jesus said, the Bible says, thou hast perfected praise in the lips of children. Well, the fulfillment is a prophecy of Zechariah 9:9. Zechariah is above Malachi, so he is over 400 years before our Lord came. And he prophesied, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold thy king cometh to thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. Have you heard of kings sitting on donkeys? This is a different king. It's a king who conquers the hearts of people by his humility and his meekness. He is one who conquers Christians. He is one who conquers the church. And the donkey is a very good symbol for a humble king, God's king and not man's king. And the donkey, after had lived in the Holy Land for some months and saw donkeys all the time, we think of the donkey as being a very stubborn animal. In fact, it is not. But a donkey is a quiet and gentle workhorse. And it is not very much bigger than an Alsatian dog. It's a very small animal. And yet, he carries a heavy load, both husband and wife sitting on his back. That is what Jesus is. He comes to work for us. He becomes our king. And the donkey, because of its meekness, you never hear the donkey complain, but you hear the donkey hee-haw, hee-haw, very loudly only in the morning. Actually, before he goes to work, but when he goes to work, he doesn't make any sound at all. He is the king of the church. For how long? For 2,000 years. From the time that Jesus entered Jerusalem, it fulfills. And it keeps on fulfilling till today. Do you know that we all have a king also? Jesus is a king of the church. So as king, he protects the church. And therefore, there are many who are missionaries going to dangerous places. But Jesus keeps them from all harm and all attack by robbers. Yes, missionaries are attacked by robbers, but Jesus has a particular protection over them. And the church doesn't get martyred all the time. In church history, you study about the church being martyred, but it is at long intervals. That is his protection against outside. Secondly, as king, he judges inside the church. Do you know that in the last days, Jesus predicted that there will be false Christs and false prophets in the church? But not only false Christ and false church in the false Christ and false prophets in the church, but false brethren. For they shall betray one another and hate one another. And now we are hearing of many things very unlikely in earlier days happening quite often today, even in BP churches. Have you heard of a BP pastor being sacked by the elders? According to the Presbyterian system, this is a travesty of justice, breaking of rules. If the pastor is to be tried, he will be tried by a panel of three other pastors outside the church, then there will be fairness. So, Jesus also protects the church inside, and He will condemn those who act outside the law. The church has also laws, but He Himself, wonderful, He sets us good example. He was also persecuted by false brethren. The Pharisees, all of them, hated Jesus. And so, Jesus, by setting us the example, gives us a pattern for this church. They wanted to even push Jesus down the hill and kill Him. How can man attack God? Before the time comes for Jesus' crucifixion, His Father will take good care of Him. So He escaped from their midst. And He did not want to fight with them for church property or church power. But He left Nazareth, where the persecution started. And He went to Capernaum in Galilee, which was some distance away, not very far. And there the Lord bless him. How is it we have a RELC service here? Not to have any quarrel or fight within our church. But we come out and the Lord has blessed us. Jesus is a donkey riding king. Donkey or ass, the same thing. And he comes gentle, meek, never bragging about himself. And we should follow him in the same. But turn to Revelation 19 with me. It's a long passage. The end of the book Revelation, chapter 19. And we read from verse, chapter 19, verse 11 to verse 16. Instead of riding a donkey, he now rides on a white horse. The horse is a powerful enemy. Jesus now comes to earth, not gentle and meek in the beginning, but now he is using power to rule the world. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Then he comes down. He is the word of God. And out of his mouth went a sharp sword, and with it he shall smite the nations. This is a time when there will be great war. Third world war it is thought to be. We have had already one First World War, 1914 to 1918, Second World War, 1939 to 1945. 21 years of peace. And then, from 1945 to now, 2004, it is 59 years of no war. How long can this world last? And so, he is here seen in the final stages of history. And he has come actually to save Israel. To save Israel. when 1/3 of the people will be killed worldwide, and Israel itself will suffer 2/3. And those that are attacking Israel in the armor, in the battle of Armageddon, which is Israel, there will be terrible destruction. So Jesus must come with all the troubles in Palestine today. You know that the day is very near, that he will come to save Israel. And then, Zechariah chapter 14, the whole chapter tells you that Jesus will then come and rule in power and great glory. Every word that he says must be obeyed. And he will rule the earth for 1,000 years. He ruled over the church as king, fulfilling the prophecy of Zechariah. And now he is going to fulfill the prophecy of Revelation chapter 19. And in the course of this destruction, he will come and save his church. To save the same church that he ruled before, but it is only those who trust in him. Singapore has only 15% Christians, and we do not count only the born againers, Roman Catholic all included. And you can see how few, so how many people will be destroyed outside the church. Jesus Christ will then come and save us by a rapture. It is a very special rapture. Means he will come and catch us up. Suddenly we will be changed. With dead in Christ, their coffins, their graves will open, they will rise up first into the air. And those of us who are believers, will you go up or not? Jesus Christ will save and catch us up. And it may even come even in my lifetime. Therefore, it is very important for us to arrange our business, to arrange our work with that in view, and that is not extreme, because the time is really very short. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ came into the world to be born in order to die for us, and his ministry had a threefold office. First, by preaching. Second, by his death. And third, by his being our king. King in two stages. Over the church first, and then over the whole world for 1,000 years. Let us pray. Almighty God, our loving Heavenly Father, help thy servant to declare thy word accordingly, systematically, that we may know the whole truth, nothing but the truth. May those who are outside you this morning readily accept you, trust in you, and receive you as Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.